Well, good morning, church family, and good morning to those visiting with us, perhaps, for the first time. Thank you. And we are so glad you've joined us this morning as we, once again, are turning our hearts to God's Word, and we are looking at the second part of Psalm 34 this morning. I'm going to just begin with a word of prayer, and then please have your Bibles open to Psalm 34. Let's start with a word of prayer. Please join me. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this new day. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, as we look to your word, we pray that, Lord, you would open our hearts and by the presence and power of your spirit, help us to understand your word. And what we understand, Lord, help us to apply it as well to our lives each and every day. Thank you again for just your faithfulness, for your mercies which are new every morning. And God, we lift up, Lord, this community to you, Lord, and we pray that you would bring healing across this land, Lord, and that those that are in trouble this morning, we pray that they will turn to you. Again, Lord, we give praise to you, for you are good and your love never fails. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I'll be reading Psalm 34, verses 14 to 22 this morning, as our next passage in Psalm 34. So let us hear God's word, verses 14 to 22 from Psalm 34. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, Psalm 34, as I mentioned last week, is a song of thanksgiving and praise. It is David who wrote this psalm in thanks and praise to God after a narrow escape when he was running from King Saul. And after seeking refuge with a foreign king, King Abimelech, in Gath, David found out that this was not the refuge he had hoped it would be. And so in order to escape from King Abimelech, David acted like a crazy man. He had to pretend to be insane. Now, the king was fooled by David's antics, and David was able to make his getaway. And this is all recorded in 1 Samuel chapter 21. And David escapes, and he finds refuge in the wilderness, where he is joined by those loyal to him, and it is here that he writes Psalm 34. Now, last Sunday, we learned that David begins this psalm in verses 1 to 3 with a pledge to praise God at all times. His praise will ever be on my lips, as David records at the beginning of this psalm. In every circumstance and in every situation, whether in trials or in darkness or calmness, it is always appropriate to praise God. David makes a statement of his dedication and devotion to praise God, of which he is not ashamed. Whether he has made foolish decisions or whether he is experiencing the blessings of the Lord and doing right, David encourages us to praise God continually. Now, in verses 4 to 10, David tells of how he cried to the Lord and that the Lord heard and delivered him from his enemies. He shows his confidence in the Lord, and he introduces us to the fear of the Lord in verse 7. And his point is that the Lord blesses those who fear God. Now, in verses 13 to 14, David advises us not to speak or do evil, but to pursue goodness. Just think about that for a moment. What does it mean to pursue goodness? Well, in the New Testament, we learn that Jesus taught his disciples to bear much fruit, fruit of the Spirit, fruit of the kingdom of heaven. And being fruitful requires action. Pursuing goodness is a lifestyle of action where your life reflects the Word of God. Being fruitful requires action, which is knowing the right thing to do and then doing it. As James wrote in James 1:22, be doers of the word, not simply hearers. Simply abstaining from evil and doing nothing is not good enough. We are to pursue goodness as we pursue a life that reflects the nature of God. Jesus went about doing good, as we learn in Acts 10, and so should we. Those who follow Jesus, those who have committed their lives to him, saved by his grace and mercy. Through love, serve one another, we are told in Galatians 5. And in Jesus' parable of the sheep and the goats, it shows us that God knows how much we love him by how much we are showing self-sacrificing love for other people. Good works also includes obeying God's laws. And praise God, he has given us his Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Now, this doesn't mean that our salvation can be earned by obedience and doing good. No, we are saved only by God's grace, which is the gift of God to those who believe. However, we are being created in Christ Jesus for good works. He who loves God will gladly demonstrate the love of God by keeping his commandments. And here's also another important passage when it comes to understanding what it means to pursue goodness, to not do evil. Galatians 6, Paul says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. People speak of a life of comfort and affluence as the good life. What is the good life for many? Our culture has a very clear message on what the good life should be all about for you. Comfort, ease, riches, wealth, affluence. But living a life close to God with all the great blessings that he offers is the truly good life as revealed in the Word of God. So allow God to cultivate in you the good fruit of goodness and pursue it. Now, later in Psalm 34, verse 15 to 16, we learn that the Lord honors righteousness. Even though it may seem that God is not aware, the eyes and ears of God see and hear everything. And in the end, God will honor righteousness and cut off the memory of evildoers. What an assuring, comforting word from David here. And it's a very descriptive way in which to describe the presence of God. David lists he says the eyes of the Lord, and he mentions the face of the Lord, the ears of the Lord. You don't get any more of a clear picture of God's intimate presence just from hearing those words used by David. And so David is using these words to remind us and to encourage us that we are remembered by a faithful God. We are heard because of God's faithfulness, and we are blessed because God is good all the time. Now, verse 17 to 18, another important truth from Psalm 34 is revealed. The Lord hears our prayers, and eventually the Lord will deliver us. The brokenhearted and those who feel crushed now will be saved then. There is hope for those suffering and in pain. And another lesson in verses 19 to 20 is to remain true to the Lord because he delivers the righteous. This is difficult because, as David says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's important to remember that the believing righteous of God may still suffer in this life as David did. But by far the best way to live is the righteous way, according to God's word applied to your life. The New Testament reinforces this through many passages. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, "In this world you will have trials and tribulations, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Then in 1 Peter 4, verse 12, Peter told the church, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing." You know, sometimes when our family members or our friends are going through a hard time, the best thing you can do for them is to be near to them. Often that has been the case for me, and just being near to them in presence led to conversations about God's love and His presence, the life of faith, and the importance of His Word. You know, many times we don't know how to respond when others are grieving, and words sometimes may do more harm than good. Serving others requires that we understand them and find out what they need. Often we can help by meeting practical needs. But one of the best ways to encourage those who are suffering is to be near, to sit beside them, to listen to them. And in Psalm 34, verse 17 to 18, we learn an important truth about God. God is always near when we call out to Him. Let me read to you again, Psalm 34, verse 17 to 18, where David said, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit." At our greatest time of need, when we feel the most alone, remember that God is the closest to us. When our hearts are broken in pieces, He is very near to bring comfort and healing. We may not always feel His presence during these difficult times, but He is with us nonetheless. That is why it is a life that we are called to live of faith, not by sight. With a tenderness that only can come from God, God's presence is near, and His love for us is whole and perfect. The Bible says in Isaiah 42, verse 3, "A bruised reed He will not break, and a smoldering wick He will not snuff out." When you are bruised and broken, be encouraged to know that your Father is near and promises to save you. I'm so encouraged by those words, that God is near. And when we are confused and lost and angry, we can always look to God. And we can always put our trust in Him, knowing that He is leading us as our great shepherd. You know, when sadness and depression settle into one's mind or heart or soul, it is not easy to turn those feelings off or to break out of that rut and to move on, as some might suggest or think. At times, inner despair remains. It's still there regardless of the support offered from those that care. If this sounds like you, realize that you are not alone. Many others have or are currently battling with valleys of darkness too. Are you aware that numerous men and women of the Bible struggled with despair? Yes, even God-believing people experienced depressed feelings, emotional grief, despair. Just here are a few. Moses, he asked God at one point to take his life. Job cursed the day he was born. Jonah was angry with God and he wanted to die. And Hannah grieved because her womb remained closed for many years. Naomi was filled with bitterness and pain after experiencing multiple hardships. And Hagar, she sobbed in the desert as her son was about to die. There are multiple reasons why these people in the Bible had feelings of despair, but only one awesome God that loved and helped each one out. Moses was overwhelmed. So what did God do? He appointed him with some help through his brother Aaron. Job lost everything, but God blessed him in his later years. And after Hannah poured her heart out to the Lord, God opened her womb and she gave birth to a son. And how about Hagar? In the wilderness, she cried out to God, and God provided for her and her child's needs. We could go on in the Bible of how God delivered and rescued and helped those who were crushed in spirit, who were brokenhearted. Despair can enter one's life after defeat, after tragedy or loss, following even a huge spiritual triumph, or after committing a sin. No matter what the problem or cause of someone's broken heart or crushed spirit, God is always ready and able to help. 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have abundance for every good deed." Also, listen to Ephesians 3 verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." What we learn in these verses is that God will go through great lengths to restore that which is broken and crushed in spirit. He is always able. And may he help us, you today, to wait upon the Lord in faith as he works in you. And I believe he is working in you today. And I just pray a blessing of God's work in you, that you will just allow him to continue to heal you and help you to restore whatever is broken in you as you look to God's word, as you be still in his presence and await his touch upon your life. If you are feeling down, know that God is with you. Know that what you are going through and what you are experiencing right now, that you're not alone in this journey. Invite him into every area of your life that needs healing. Allow his spirit and his word to comfort you, but also reach out. Reach out and let others encourage you along the way too. Sometimes we feel that we just want to be alone in our suffering, but we need to overcome that barrier and to allow others in, perhaps a few at a time or one at a time, someone close to you, someone that you can trust to be part of that journey with you, praying with you, talking to you, just being a presence in your life. Brighter days will transpire as you place your hope in the Lord and take the necessary steps that he asks you to take, even if those steps are very small at the start of the day, throughout the day. So what season are you in today? Psalm 34 reveals to us what kind of season David was going through. He had narrowly escaped with his life, and now he's in the wilderness, and he gives us this psalm, this word from God to bring encouragement to you for where you're at today. Are you brokenhearted? Are you fearful or rejected? Are you going through something really hard that feels like fire? Well, let me tell you, as we are reminded in Psalm 34, verse 18 again, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. But also, let me share with you again from the New Testament another important passage that has helped me as well in my struggles of darkness or being alone in grief. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16 to 18 says this, "Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes on not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." These verses say that our troubles, what you're going through today, the testing that you are experiencing, they are achieving something. They are producing something in eternity that we cannot see. So take hope. God is at work in you, preparing you. We tend to focus on the temporary, but when We focus on the unseen with eyes of faith. Then and only then we can keep going. We can endure and persevere and not lose heart. So if you are crushed in spirit today, if you are brokenhearted, do not turn to the world's ways as a band-aid to your pain. Again, turn to the Lord. Seek Him. Fix your eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. What we see is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. You are not alone. The Lord is near. You know, as we close, the troubles of life are expected, but should not overwhelm the people of God, the community of faith in Jesus Christ. But through prayer, God's people will be delivered out of trouble. Through praising God, through prayer, we remind ourselves and instruct others to live by faith in order to experience the goodness of God. And He is a good and wonderful God. And He is always great at being good to His people. We cannot praise Him enough for His goodness, can we? But let us continue today to praise Him for His goodness and to praise Him for His word, which comes to us at such timely moments in our life when this is exactly what we need to hear for what we're going through. So as we close, I'm going to invite you to pray with me the Lord's Prayer, as we have been doing so after our time in God's Word. So let us share in the Lord's Prayer, and I pray that afterwards you would have a wonderful day, a godly day, continuing to put God's Word into practice. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.